Good morning.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Today I'm here to tell you that it doesn't make sense, it's never going to make sense, and that's a really good thing. With those thoughts in mind, let's get ready to worship our God. I'll tell you why that's a good thing. The order of worship that will follow is printed for you in your worship booklet. There are a number of special announcements and worship directions, so be on your toes as we worship today, and I'll give you a heads up too as we worship with the order of service that's printed for us. Our opening hymn is hymn 153. Let us worship the Lord. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. Let us pray. Father of lights, every good and perfect gift comes from you. Inspire us to think those things that are true and long for those things that are good, that we may always make our petitions according to your gracious will. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson is recorded in Acts chapter 14. Here, Paul and Barnabas are having a difficult time because the people are asking for something that they don't have to give them. What they do have to give them is the Word of God and a faithful witness to the Word of God. Paul and Barnabas do their best to refocus the people on what matters, the fact that Jesus lived for them, died for them, and rose again, not who they were. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was their chief speaker. He was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men,
human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them.
This is the word of the Lord. Psalm of the day is Psalm 65 on page 7. We sing it according to the directions on page 7. Psalm 65. The second lesson is recorded in Revelation chapter 3. Here we see people much like us, people who like to believe in what the world says over what God says. If only this, if only that, if only this were happen. Here Jesus himself reminds us, be faithful to him and his word, because God is always faithful to you. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me at my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
This is the word of the Lord.
He is risen indeed, alleluia. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14. This lesson is the basis for the sermon today. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching.
My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day. And again, please take special note of the directions in the middle of page 9 as we will divide up the hymns between the different groups of the congregation. The hymn of the day is hymn 377.
Thank you.
In the name of him who lives for you, ascended high on his throne, ruling all things for you now and forever. So I had a dilemma this last week. And anytime you have a dilemma, you go and you ask a bunch of children what you should do about it. Here was the dilemma. Had the box. And we had to open the box. The only problem was we didn't know which end to open, because if you look at it, it looks like it's upright. And you read the side and it looks upright. You read the other side, it looks upright. You read the top and the shipping label is there. But then you get to this side. That says other end up. So I got some counseling from the kids. And we decided that, well, you should just go ahead and open it anyway. Other people said, well, it looks like you should open the top. And then someone said, well, what about the sign? And then we came to the conclusion that, well, somebody probably put the sign on upside down. Right? It couldn't be that we should flip the box around. Somebody put the sign on the wrong way. We're getting some bad intel. And we better not open the other side up. When you have a dilemma, what do? You go and get some counseling. You ask around. You see what you should do. Jesus' disciples, they had a dilemma. Jesus said, you heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. How is that going to be a good thing? Why should they be happy about that? They liked Jesus. Jesus liked them. Jesus was teaching them. Jesus was comforting them. Jesus was guiding them. Jesus was their friend, and now he's going away. Enter the sign on the box. How is that going to be okay? That doesn't make sense. And I'm supposed to be glad that this doesn't make sense? We're supposed to be glad that you're going away? Jesus once told them what his leaving meant. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. One of his disciples, Peter, he did some internal counseling. And he thought to himself, how can that be good for Jesus? I don't want him to suffer. I don't want him to get arrested. I don't want him to die. I don't want him to go anywhere. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Matthew records, never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. You know, it's kind of amazing how our minds work, isn't it? How fascinating they are, the way that we are able to rationalize and to scrutinize. And so Peter has a dilemma. Jesus is going away and he didn't like it. Jesus was going away and it didn't make sense to him, but he was supposed to be glad about it. And so in his mind, he has the big screen going. And he's putting up all the different options for Jesus. Water into wine, not a problem for Jesus. How about you fix this? Instead of going away, why don't you change things? Instead of going away, why don't we run away? Remember the time we ran away to the mountain? And the great things that happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But Jesus has to go somewhere else. And Jesus has to be arrested. And Jesus has to be hurt. And Jesus has to die. How could that possibly be a good thing? It just didn't make sense to Peter. So back to the box. How could it make sense if all signs are telling you up, but the one sign that matters is telling you down? All signs were telling Peter and the other disciples, Jesus should stay here. Jesus should make everything better here. Jesus should make it happen differently. And so then we continued counseling with the kids. And why did Jesus tell them they should be happy? Why should they be glad that Jesus was leaving? And of course, one of the youngest sitting right about there raised her hand and she looked right at me and said they should be glad because Jesus was going to heaven to get everything ready for them. They should be glad that none of this made sense, because although everything Peter wanted to do, those things were fine, those things were okay, they were coming from a good place. But Jesus' counsel was perfect. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So at best, Peter and the disciples were, okay, this is Jesus, so whatever. At worst, this is Jesus, this is our friend, and this isn't going to happen. And we're going to do everything we can to stop it. And you remember what Jesus said to Peter last time Peter tried to stop Jesus? "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." So how do you do? How do you do when all signs are pointing one way, and your heart and your mind are telling you one thing, and then Jesus comes to you in his word and he says something completely different? And it gets very complicated because, yes, we are human, but we are also new people in Jesus. And so we make these decisions and we plan out our life. And you're wondering, do I wear the blue or do I wear the black today? And you have 4 reasons for wearing blue, 5 for wearing black, and you choose to wear blue anyway. And that's fine. That's a great decision to make. Should we take the family to the coast or to the mountains for vacation? And again, you have all your reasons for the choices that you make, and you make a choice and it's great. It's fine. Should you stay here and do this job, or should you take the other job offer? You think about it, you pray about it, you consider your family, you consider everything, maybe where you would be best at, and then you make a decision, and it's fine. It's great. What are you going to say to your neighbor today because it didn't go so well talking about Jesus last time, but you know you're going to, you want to, you love your neighbor, and you say, "This is how it's going to go this time." And it's a fine decision, and it's going to be great. Your counsel is good. Your counsel is okay. Your plan is good. Should you go back to the doctor again? Should you try this treatment or this experimental therapy? Or should you just say, "Enough. God's obviously calling me home now." It's going to be a fine decision. They're fine decisions until they get complicated with a lack of peace, when we start to let our hearts get troubled and we become very afraid. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." You know, being sad, that's not the same as being happy and giddy all the time, skipping through life, everything's honky-dory, and you're wondering why everybody else can't be happy like you are happy. That's not what being glad is. And being at peace does not mean that you have no problems and that you are concerned about nothing. And being afraid does not mean that you're upset by what's going on because you can't quite figure it out or something just has you startled or at your wit's end. That's not what we're talking about. Those are human experiences. Those are good experiences that God lets us wrestle with. The problem comes when we think, "This doesn't make sense to me and that's not okay. And my heart is not at peace, and I am troubled, and I am afraid because I have stopped trusting in this. And I am having a hard time listening to God share his promises with me and telling me everything is going to be okay, and that I should even be glad that it doesn't make sense for me." God promises the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Being at peace with God means okay. God promises, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Okay, trouble is, when we start telling you, God, your arms must be getting tired because you're dropping me. You're dropping my life. Trouble comes when you stop to think, okay, God, your counseling, it's a little off. And your counselor that you promised to send, the Holy Spirit, must not have time for my appointment today because look what's going on. And if Jesus wouldn't have told Peter, get behind me, Satan, if Jesus would not have said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him, he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. If your counseling of yourself was to doubt God and to become upset, and if that were okay, I wouldn't bring any of this up today. If when you looked at what's going on and you said nothing is okay and that's not okay, then I would say, go home. It's fine. But Jesus says, be at peace, and when we're not, that's not okay. Jesus says, be glad that this doesn't make sense, and when we're not glad, then things aren't okay. And if every time you and I said this wasn't okay, if that wasn't Satan leading you by the hand away from God, one step closer to hell, I would say, okay. And if Jesus says, when you get all riled up and you start doubting and questioning him, that's showing that you don't love him, I would say, okay. But truth is, Satan works very hard to lead us away from our Savior, so that we are not at peace with him, so that we do not love him, and we are not okay with his counsel. Why should they be glad? Because Jesus was going to heaven to make everything okay for them. Why should they be glad that Jesus was leaving them? Because Jesus was going to the cross for them. And then Jesus was going to spend some time in a grave for them. And then Jesus was going to rise again on Easter Sunday. And 40 days later, he was going to go back to his Father to get everything ready for them. Why should they be glad that it made no sense? Because God's plan was perfect, and the Holy Spirit's counsel was going to work. Because they would have it all figured out, wouldn't they? After the counselor came back and explained to them on the day of Pentecost, then everything, yes, everything was okay. Jesus said, I have told you now before it happened, so that when it does happen, you will believe. They saw him resurrected, and they believed. They heard his promises, and they believed. The counselor came and reminded them of how this all was going to work, and they believed. Then everything was okay. Jesus also went away for you, and he went away for me. For every time we cross the line of just being human to not being at peace with God, to not loving God, and racking up more and more sin and guilt and driving ourselves further and further away from God, by letting our hearts be troubled and by being very afraid, Jesus went to the cross for us. And Jesus spent some time in the tomb, and that's where he left our guilt, and that's where he left our shame. And then he rose again too. Because it happened, we can believe too. So if God wants you to wear the black instead of the blue, he's going to find a way to get you to wear the black instead of the blue. And maybe instead of helping you make a decision as to where you're going to go on vacation, maybe he's going to let your car break down and you're not going to go anywhere on vacation. And maybe instead of letting your next witness attempt work, he's going to say, I'm going to make you go back. And you're going to share Jesus again. Even though you're going to say, this should not work, he's going to send you back again with Jesus. And maybe he's not going to let you figure out which treatment is going to be best, because he's going to force you to come back to him until you are at peace with him. And the simple truth that he went to the cross for you, he is fully invested in you. His counseling for you is going to work. Because although your plans are good, God's counsel is perfect. You know, it's interesting that Jesus didn't say, you know what, I'm going to do this, and then those good-for-nothing guys who have so much trouble trusting in me, then they're finally going to know. He said, no, this is going to happen because I love you, and then you're going to know. Jesus knows that you love him, but he also knows that it can be hard for you, and he knows that we struggle. And so Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, who's going to take you back to my word, because then you are going to know. And if you don't know, he's going to give you the patience to wait on him and trusting that his counsel is working. And so we are entrusting another class this year to Jesus. We entrusted them to his word. We shared with him what these sacraments mean, and now they're ready to confess their faith in front of you. And what are we supposed to do to keep them faithful to God's word? Share Jesus with them. And like, well, how is that going to work? They're up against so much. Jesus says, be glad. Be glad that that doesn't make sense. Because something bigger than you, someone bigger than you, is going to keep these kids safe and is going to continue to strengthen their faith in him. You know, we opened the box on Wednesday morning. We opened the box and the bottom fell out. And it made a huge mess because we didn't listen to the sign. And sometimes I think it's almost as if God has opened us up by the wrong end. And life is completely falling apart because nothing is making sense. Jesus tells you today, be glad that it doesn't make sense. Because you have a counselor who's working on you and in your heart and in your mind through his word. And everything is just like he wants it to be. So may your counselor take you back to your word and give you peace knowing that Jesus died for you. Jesus rose again for you, and he has sent the counselor to counsel you, not in a way that makes sense to you or in a way that makes sense to the world, but in a perfect way that's going to work. Amen. Please stand. Take a moment to counsel one another by reminding ourselves of who our God is and what he has done for us. We do so with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we gather our offerings.
Thank you.
In our prayers this morning, we have been asked to remember our sister in the faith, Pat McDonald, whose husband Lou passed away this last week following a heart attack. We've also been asked to remember Danielle Covey, who was hospitalized with a minor stroke, but who is without long-term damage and will be recovering and seeking treatment for that. We've also been asked to remember Tim Hull. Tim's father, Alan Hull, has been diagnosed with cancer and will be seeking treatment. And then we also rejoice that God has blessed us with 9 confirmands this year. We'll ask that God bless them and the promises that they will make. And we also welcome into God's family through holy baptism Jalen Brown and Hannah Wilkin, both member students at our school. And so we're happy to be able to share the sacrament of holy baptism with them today. Let us pray. God of all grace, we thank you for the gift of eternal life in your Son. By the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and by the faithful testimony of the apostles, you have assured us that our faith stands on a sure and solid foundation. Though we do not see Jesus with our physical eyes, help us see him with the eyes of faith. Through your Holy Spirit, breathe on your church that it may faithfully proclaim the gospel of our risen Savior with courage and diligence in all lands and to all people. Grant that we may also be illumined by the heavenly light of your word, and so keep us in the one and only true faith. Preserve us from all assaults on our souls. Deliver us from doubt and despair, and preserve us from worldly wisdom and false teaching. Forgive the sins of all your people. Strengthen the doubting and the faithless. Bring back the forgetful and wayward, and comfort the anxious and the distressed. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you on behalf of our sister Pat and her daughter Amber. We ask that the good news that Lou now rests with you free from the pain and troubles of his last weeks in this world, we ask that the good news of a resurrection and a reunion with him in heaven would comfort them. Please use us, her brothers and sisters, to comfort her, to be there for her. Above all, we ask that you be her rock and her foundation as she and her family mourns the passing of her husband Lou. We also ask that you would be with Danielle Covey and Alan Hull, who are seeking medical treatment. We ask that you would be with them and their families, as it is very unsettling when our loved ones are rushed to the hospital or receive news that we weren't expecting or hoping for from a doctor. May this be a time that they rally around you. May your counsel be that they run to you and be at peace, knowing that you are on top of this situation and every situation. Please bless them, and if it is your will, restore their health. Finally, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you share with us when we gather around word and sacrament. We thank you for the 9 souls who will be professing their faith today. We thank you for the opportunity to welcome them into membership and for the privilege of continuing to nourish their faith. Please use your word and sacrament to continue to strengthen them, to continue to confirm them in the faith that you have worked in them. And finally, we thank you for the blessing of holy baptism. Help us to remember that our sins are washed away, that we are yours forever, and that because Jesus lives, one day we too will live. We ask that you instill that confidence in Jalen and Hannah as they are baptized today. Help them remember that they are part of your family. Help them to live in their baptismal grace so that they can continue to give glory to you their entire lives. As we go from this holy place today, we ask that you grant peace and rest to us all. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand as we make our preparations to receive the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Lord of hosts, the Lord is born.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith, until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. peace with him, your sins are forgiven.
Thank you.
Worship continues on page 15 with the song, Thank the Lord. Please stand. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. May that peace of God be with you today, especially if you think nothing is making sense. Be glad about that. Go home and rejoice, because God is on top of it and something much better is going on in your hearts and in your lives. A couple of announcements to share with you. The connection program, the name tag program, is underway, and those name tags are behind the information center. The information center is the wall on your left-hand side as you're going through the lobby, and so if you go through towards that stairwell, on that back wall, that's where the name tags are. So there is some free wall space there. So out the lobby to the left, and just before you go up to the balcony, you'll see the name tags there. If you still want to sign up, contact Donna Williamson, and she can get you a name tag. That was one. Also, we have a special gifts list that has been published for you. If you enjoy giving those special gifts to those specific projects, there's some brightly colored paper on the bookshelves just as you go out. We've prioritized these projects. Some of them are essential. We have to get them done, and others of them would just be good things to do. So take a look at that, please, as those things are not typically covered by the budget. And finally, we have confirmation today. We prayed for 9 of them, so we praise and thank God for that. If you'd like to come back, we'll have a brief reception for them in the Rose Garden with some cake. But above all, do pray for them and praise and thank God for the great things that we as a congregation continue to get to do. Those are the announcements that I have. And if I see no other hands, all right. Please feel free to visit with one another and then say hi to me on your way out.